I hate spoilers to movies, especially. I don't like knowing what happens at the end because I love figuring it out along the way. Any good movie will have clues along the way, especially about twists that are coming up. They usually don't totally take us by surprise. Good movies always give you a good clue. Hannah sometimes thinks I'm a movie prophet because I can call whodunit way early. Just look at the cues. Palm Sunday gives us a clue as well. Everyone sees Jesus entering Jerusalem as king, which is right. But almost nobody notices really what kind of king he is. And the biggest clue in the whole story, it's not the thing that marks our Sundays, though these are fun. It's the one thing that he chooses, the donkey. This afternoon, we'll reflect briefly on the donkey, which tells us what kind of king Jesus is and where he's going. We're going to look at the donkey as the sermon. We're going to look at conditional praise, and we're going to look at downward mobility. The donkey is the sermon. So we spent a few weeks ago, we spent some time in Jesus' greatest sermon, Sermon on the Mount. The donkey, perhaps his second greatest sermon, who knows? He chose the donkey. Not because that's all that was available, but because it meant something. Verse 5 quotes the prophet Zechariah, your king comes to you humble, riding on a donkey. Military kings ride war horses. Impressive, powerful, ready. In seasons of war, you've got to be ready to go. But peaceful kings ride donkeys. The crowd seems to have overlooked the donkey. For those who might not have, peace to them would likely have meant defeating the Romans, who were occupying their land. They might have thought something like, okay, donkey for us, war horse for them, please. King who brings us peace, bring them violence. Don't give them a choice. But this king comes on a donkey, and so he's less violent than they want. But he is more threatening than they expect. The donkey is Jesus' message in a story that doesn't have him speaking very much. Jesus' kingdom is not coming to put them back on the stage of nations. It's not headed upwards with God's people, but rather riding the donkey, heading downwards towards humility, peace, suffering, towards his enemies because he loves them, towards the cross. The crowds are correct to praise him as their king. They're correct even in how they gather together to do so. It's a really beautiful image. But it's ironic because he does not wind up becoming the warhorse king that the crowds may have wanted. And so they praised him, but on one condition, that he would pick them up and solve all their problems. The donkey is the sermon. And against the sermon, we see that their praise is conditional. It was conditional on what they thought the king would do for them. I don't know if you've ever had that moment where you thought to yourself, boy, following Jesus, I really thought it would be different than this. Those are moments where our conditions get exposed. The conditional praise of the crowd, they weren't pretending. They were really believing that Jesus was king. They waved their palms. They sang Psalm 118. They joined the procession together. But they would all desert him in the end, every last one of them. Any moment you think it would have been easier to believe in Jesus, being there in person, present with him, just remember the crowd on Palm Sunday. Every one of them left. Their praise had conditions. They wanted liberation. He was bringing surrender. They wanted victory. He was bringing a cross. They wanted strength. He was bringing humility. They did not yet understand the road that he was taking. Not violent. Not forcing anything, actually, on anyone. But utterly threatening to their and our way of thinking. Their praise was conditional on upward mobility. Now, we are not very different. We also tend to seek upward mobility, especially in our modern time and place. Protestant work ethic, the American dream, right? Anybody can be anything. Anybody can come here and make a life for themselves. That's not bad. But spiritually, it is really harmful. We are an up and to the right kind of culture. As long as things are getting bigger and better and more, as long as the bank account is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, as long as the attendance is growing and growing and growing, there's nothing wrong. But at the moment that arrow starts ticking downwards, we got problems that we have to talk about. I remember I grew up outside of New York City, so all the New York sports media. Eli Manning, to my chagrin, won a Super Bowl with the New York Giants. Very next year, I remember this, first or second game, he wasn't playing great. And all of a sudden, you get the boos from the crowd. You're a bum! Right away, early in the season, right after you brought home a Super Bowl. That fickle, that conditional on today's play. We expect following Jesus will fit our upward mobility culture. It'll move our lifestyle upwards and upwards. We'll be more strong, more stable, more successful. But Jesus is riding a donkey. We love Jesus as king as long as he's going where we hoped he would go. But Jesus' kingdom is not about upward mobility. His path is downward mobility. The donkey is not just about that day. It's about the way that Jesus rules, even today. He rides into weakness and suffering and shame and right into the places that we tend to avoid. We spend so much energy trying to avoid those scariest, least controllable areas. But he rides right into them. And we can't receive this king in any other way. There are three ways that I thought of that we tend to avoid the downwardly mobile Jesus. First is the scoop and save Jesus. We may enjoy the fact that Jesus is on a downward trajectory until he gets to us, and then let's pick up. You can save me, Jesus, but have not really those people down there. Or not those people on the other side of the aisle. Or if you save me, don't ask me to continue the downward walk with you. We want Jesus to scoop and save and lift us back into upward mobility. We also like the Tinkerbell Jesus, where his teachings, his examples, the moral fabric of what he teaches that lines up with the way the world works, shocker, he created it. We take that and we sprinkle it over our lives like pixie dust, hoping that it'll just help us to get better and upward and more successful. We also expect the ignorant Jesus. We might hang around the crowd on Palm Sunday there, but inwardly, we're actually ashamed of something. Our sin is too gnarly for this nice guy, Jesus. My story is too big for this downwardly mobile king. And so we wall him off, which is sending him back upwards, leaving us down here. How many people have rejected a version of Jesus that is nice guy Jesus because they think Jesus can't downwardly move as far as they are? We like to turn Jesus' path upwards because the downward Jesus feels threatening to us, if we're honest. We know this because all of the crowds left him in the end. Just like them, all too often our own praise can be conditional on everything going right. Our own showing up can be conditional on whether we feel like it today. Let me promise you, the best days to show up for worship are the days you least feel like you should. That's a downwardly mobile Jesus. Conditional praise oftentimes means conditional discipleship, conditional healing. I'll take you as far as this, but then let's put up a wall. But Jesus longs for so much more healing in us. In us, because he's not interested in a bunch of individuals who have an awesome quiet time. He's interested in a community that shows the world a different way of being human, a downwardly mobile way of being human. Healing on our terms is not the healing that we need. A life that's focused on upward mobility requires that we scrape and earn and avoid and step on so that we might get absolutely everything that we want, or at least an acceptable version of what we really want, only to find that if we're lucky enough to get that, we're anxious that we might lose it or too numb to enjoy it. A life focused on upward mobility is a life of death that must be threatened. And so as our creed says, Jesus descended to the dead, far past where everybody deserted him, for those very people. Palm Sunday, it feels like whiplash. We start big and bold and proud and praise the Lord. He doesn't shun that. But we end in our readings in that still and heavy place. It begs the question, will we receive this downwardly mobile king? Because we can't receive him in any other way. Sometimes folks wonder why we do this whole sad and somber preparation for Easter that is Holy Week. It's because we are unfamiliar with the contours of a downward path. We're familiar with the path this world offers. But Jesus in his upside-down kingdom is saying life is actually found in a trajectory that is pointed downwards. Totally different posture. Otherwise, we're always going to be scraping to try to climb back up. But a life that is focused on a downwardly mobile path is a life that is free, open-handed with what we have, unafraid to go lower than the person that we're in an argument with because we're downwardly mobile. A life focused on a downwardly mobile path knows that our King has gone further down than we could possibly imagine. He's done it because he loves us. Will we receive the downwardly mobile King? If all we do is hop from Palm Sunday to Easter, that's an upward trajectory. So join me this week as we walk the downward path. on Maundy Thursday, receiving the service of our King. Good Friday, receiving the cross of our King. When the crowds left, he descended to die for them. Just want to leave you remembering that however distant you think you are from God, you are not even close to being too far for Jesus' downward path. Let me pray for us.